and welcome to the UK and Ireland Minnesota Vikings fan club podcast. I am your host and co-president, Mr. Richard Dawson, and I am joined by my other two amigos, vice president and all-around nice guy, Mr. John McDonald, and show producer and co-president, Mr. Reese Fields. Say hello, gentlemen.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hello, gentlemen.
Oh, good start to the show. Right, what have we got for you tonight? Obviously, breaking news. Mr. Alexander Mattison has been released by the Vikings. We're going to talk about that one. The combine, had my eyes glued to it all weekend. It'd be good to understand standout performances, any records that have been broken. And then the promised defensive discussion, who is going to play on the Minnesota Vikings defense next season. Rounding it off with a very, very important listener question and a very, very important listener update from our lad Jack. So, Alexander Mattison, let's get into it. So his name is Alexander Mattison and he has thrown away his shot because Alexander Mattison has been released by the Vikings. You winced.
Harsh, mate. I've got my views on this. I know you've got yours. John and I, of course, met the man. But I mean, you happily, you know, shoot your shot and John and I will wince at the camera that the listeners can't see for the time being. And then, yeah, you go for it, mate.
Well, you go first. You give us the reason as to why this is a potential mistake from the Minnesota Vikings.
Well, he's always been a good number two back. He was due a fair bit of money next year. And when I say fair bit, not much really. You know, $4 million for an experienced pro is not much money, especially someone who can make an impact when used correctly. And I feel like a lot of the reasons that this release has happened is because Alexander Mattison was not used correctly last year. Of course, there might be some bias. John and I, so we both met the man. He came over to London last summer. He spent time with the fans. He is an absolute gent. A really, really nice guy. He could not have made enough time for John and I and for the other fans who were there on both days where him and Mackay were in London with us all. You know, and I'm gutted to see him go because of that, isn't that personal connection. When you meet a player and you spend time with a player, you do have that, you know, sort of recognition. I mean, John will probably bore listeners to death over the offseason, but, you know, Mackay recognised us all in the airport, and it's that recognition of just, you know, John and I met Alex on a Saturday in London at Williams F1 experience. 2 days later, he's like, oh my God. And he's like, hi, he's just, you know, like he knows us, and such a genuinely nice guy. I'm gutted for him that it hasn't worked out.
John, do you share the same thoughts? Nice guy when you met him?
Absolutely. He could not make enough time. He could not make enough time for us when he came over. So, yeah, it was just brilliant to meet him, and just a standout guy who just wanted to interact with the fans. And that was his main thing about coming over here. And he went around the UK and has done loads of interviews saying how brilliant it is and how much he enjoyed everything over here. But, yeah, I agree with Reese. He wasn't used properly last year. And to be honest, it's hard being a running back in Minnesota, because we've gone from a Hall of Fame back to in AP to Delvin Cook, who wasn't that bad, to be honest. He's well up there, to Alexander Mattison. So the bar was set pretty damn high for Alexander Mattison, and I don't think he was ever a number one back. He could share the load, but I don't think the load was shared properly last year between the running backs. And I don't think he was used correctly. I can't speak highly enough about how much he just really interacted with the fans last year at the pub and the F1 experience that we went to as well. It was just so nice. And you could see him helping out Mackay as well, interacting with the fans when the, because Mackay was a bit standoffish at the F1 experience when we first met him, because he'd not long been drafted and everything like that. So, and you could see Alexander really helping him out, and just, yeah, it was brilliant to see that.
I think my outstanding memory of Alexander Mattison will be the game versus the Saints. I was probably stood in line when he caught that screen, ran through, scored a touchdown, and then did the sipping tea celebration, which we all very much enjoyed. But gentlemen, this is a game of football, which is a business of winning. And last season, Alexander Mattison's stats were not winning stats. You can't keep a man on your roster who cannot deliver what we need him to deliver. And I've got no qualms against the fact that Alexander Mattison is a nice guy. He comes across as an extremely, exceptionally nice guy. But looking around the league, you've got Henry, you've got Montgomery, you've got Chubb before his knee exploded. You've got a lot of other good running backs that excite the fans and deliver. I just think that, I mean, you look at Jahmyr Gibbs last season, you know, I think that we have got an opportunity to go out and get someone who can really help us. I hope he goes on somewhere and has a good career. But 700 yards, 3.9 yards a snap is not winning running back one positions for me, and he's certainly not winning new contracts or getting retained on the team.
Yeah, I do get that. But another thing is, if you've got a coach who abandons the run after 8 attempts in a game, what are you going to do as a running back? You can't get momentum. It's a huge momentum position. When you are running for 8 yards a carry over and over and over again, you keep getting the ball. And, you know, those big carries keep coming. But if you have one or two 2-yard carries, should that stop? No, not at all. I feel like Mattison was a victim of the system last season. But again, there are cap savings against it. The production maybe wasn't there. And by releasing him today, they did save a couple of million. I know I've gone on record on this podcast saying I don't stand or never felt like he would be released, because if it didn't happen today, pretty much it could have gone to a case of, you know, 4 million guaranteed with only a 600K savings. So I get the time was now to do it. But I do feel like we have to learn to run the ball better. And that starts everywhere from the scheme, defensive line, tight ends, running backs themselves. It's all got to be better.
I think we did run the ball a little bit better. It just happened to be in the hands of Ty Chandler. You know, that guy scores 3 touchdowns last season. You can't have your running back one score no touchdowns in an entire season. You can't retain a guy that does that.
That's the damning stat, really. And he lost that running back one spot. But should he ever have been a running back one, I think, is the other question. You know, maybe someone else should have come in. There were different players that were floated about in the offseason. Raheem Mostert was at one point lined up, you know, another experienced running back, bought something different, had that explosiveness to get to the edge, which Manny, you know, he lacked slightly, you know, compared to Ty Chandler or Cam Akers. There was that lack of explosiveness, I get that. But he's also an excellent outside zone back. And if you got him the time in the backfield to pick a hole, he would find it. And, you know, late in the season, when we had those good games running the ball, he was still churning off some good sized runs. Something just didn't add up with the run game last season. I mean, it took us how many weeks to record a rushing touchdown? That's not just on the backs.
I get that. But in the same breath, when you've got people like I say, Gibbs, Singletary, even last year with the Texans, looked explosive, Pacheco, Barkley, Henry, these guys, I mean, they make an exciting offense and they make a defense wonder what play you're going to line up and snap. We were really predictable because we didn't have a running game. So it was almost throwing plays away to hand it off to Mattison last season, which again, I'm sure that he's a very lovely guy. You can't have that in your squad. If you've got a mentality of wanting to go far in your division, go far in the playoffs, get to the big game. So for me, I think it's the right time. Wish him all the best. Hope he picks up another team as probably running back too. Like you say, Reese, he probably should never have been given the big job. But let's see what's happened next season. I mean, come on, guys. If we're going to need a running back one now, are we drafting someone? Are we going to take someone in free agency?
Well, you can't go wrong with drafting, to be honest. I wouldn't draft high. But I'd love to see Cordero Patterson back at the Vikings. I've said that. I've made that very clear a couple of times, that he's just a great Swiss Army knife utility player. And he's a free agent this off-season. So I'd love to see him back being used properly for us. Maybe as a running back too or something like that. But yeah, I'd love to see him back.
Reese, lay it on us. Who are you taking as running back one next year?
Ty Chandler, I feel like, is the obvious next step for him, is to start him as running back one next season. I know you say you can't go wrong with the draft. It depends where you draft. This draft, if you're looking at how you're going to take players, and I will probably get into it, but in later podcasts and maybe a little bit later today. But if you're looking at the mid rounds, you're looking more wide receiver than you are looking running back. And taking a late round back, any running back can look good on college tape, but when you get to the NFL, it's a huge difference. And we saw that with Dwayne McBride last season. You know, there was a lot of excitement, everyone thinking for a late round pick, he could really do something. But when it got to the preseason games, it became apparent that he wasn't quite at that NFL standard straight away. And you know, unless you're going to reach early on a running back with one of our earlier picks when the team has much bigger needs, I don't see the draft being an option. All I can see is maybe veteran help coming through free agency. But again, Ty Chandler being the number one back going into next season.
Yeah, both not bad shout. Cordell Patterson could be a firework in certain plays. So it'd be interesting to see if he came back. I think Ty Chandler's earned the right after the way that he played last year. I think he's earned the right to be running back one. You've got some help as well already in the squad. And Wongu, if he can stay fit, is, I think, an exceptional player. It is just that fitness, which is a slight concern. Do we bring Cam Akers back? I mean, two Achilles injuries at his age is a bit of a damning statistic for a running back. But, I mean, I watched the combine at the weekend and we're just about to go into that. But Blake Corum at Michigan looked pretty good, didn't he? Certainly passed the eye test for me. But it'd be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see who we bring in. I mean, we might go crazy and bring Barkley over from the Giants because we know that he's not staying there next year. Henry is going to be available, but again, injury record. Do we risk it with him? But we know that he's very versatile and could add a completely new dimension to our game. So it's going to be interesting. We're going to keep our eye on it. But having said that, it is time to talk about the combine. It's every NFL fan's dream to go to the combine. I think I would love to do some of those challenges, the gauntlet and that sort of stuff. But yeah, let's get into it. Let's see who passed the eye test. Let's see who broke some records. So the conclusion of the NFL Combine has come around. I really enjoyed it. I love watching the Combine. I think it's just an insight into the skill set of players, who's going to be coming up in the draft, who to keep an eye on. My missus went out for a Prosecco brunch on Saturday, which gave me a really good excuse to get the kids into bed early and sit down and watch all of the running back, quarterback and wide receiver portion of the Combine, which was... It might sound sad to some people, but I really enjoyed it. But, you know, one thing I don't particularly pay too much attention to is the numbers and the figures. So, let's go across to our stat man, Mr. Reese Fields.
It's a beep, for you. Not I don't know why I did that. Anyway, it makes good viewing, doesn't it, Rich, when guys are breaking records? It's definitely one of those ones where we saw quite a few of those topple. Garrett Greenfield, he broke the combine record for the highest ever vertical jump for an offensive lineman. You might ask yourself, well, what's the point of a vertical jump for an offensive lineman? They don't have to jump and catch the ball. Well, teams like to look at this vertical jump, the broad jump too, and use that for a guy's explosiveness off the mark. You know, he starts in a squatting position. If he can go from that and jump high, well, he's going to be able to channel that energy and throw himself into the pattern of a defensive and offensive lineman, depending on what side of the ball he lines up. And of course, while we talk about the broad jump, Tyler Owens, who led the safeties position group with a 89 athleticism score, which, by the way, is outstanding. He recorded the second longest broad jump in the history of the combine, 12 foot 2 inches. He's short of only, you know, an inch of Byron Jones's world record. And Tyler Owens, could he be a name for the Vikings to keep an eye on? We know how Beflow absolutely loves to run a free safety package. And with the uncertain future of Harrison Smith and where people sit on Lewis Cine, it could be room for another safety coming in. But of course, the one record that stood out to everyone was the record-breaking 4.21-second 40-yard dash by Xavier Worthy. You know, he's got to be worthy of getting drafted after that performance.
Yeah, I was knackered watching it on my sofa. Watching that guy run, it was it's incredible, isn't it? You think year after year, how do they go about breaking these records? But you hit the nail on the head, Reese. These guys coming out of college now look incredibly athletic. I remember going through my days at uni, there was only one type of lifting being done, and that was in the uni bar. These guys are physically incredibly good, and they have set themselves up to really go at the NFL and give themselves the best opportunity at a proper career in the NFL. And hopefully that makes the draft class a little bit more deep, if you like. It means that you can pick up players in 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 rounds that are still incredibly athletic and still good at their positions. It just means that more good players are coming through, which can only be a good thing. John, who's your standout player from the combine?
Well, there were a fair few players, as you guys have mentioned, records being broken all over the place. I think this has had a lot to do with the COVID year being knocked back, not allowing players to stay in college another year and everything like that. But one of my underrated players, I'd say, is Jalen Simpson at safety. I really like him. I think Owens will be a bit of a stretch for us, but Simpson is someone I would like to see at the Vikings.
Good call. Yeah, I mean, like I say, I'm not a big stat guy. So 40 times, vertical leaps, all that sort of stuff. I use the eye test. And there was a few players for me that I really like the look of. I mean, Chop Robinson just made everything look like he could have done it in his sleep. Very, very good player. Jared Verse, just talking about the defensive side of the ball, looked again exceptional. And I think those two guys are going to have a really good career in the NFL. One of our leads in the team, Rob, called out Fisk, who I actually went back and looked at his tape after he called him out. And he looks good. He looks good. And he could potentially be a late round pick for our defensive line that could really help us out. I get excited watching the combine, because at this stage, the playing field is fairly even, unless you've had an absolute stinker. You know, you're just looking at some good young talent playing football. And as well, I think at some stage we're going to have to get some tight end help into the team. I look at Jared Wiley, and at 6'6" or something ridiculous. You know, if you we've talked previously, you two guys have mentioned the safety valve, tight end over the middle. You know, if he's going to run a decent center route as an option for potentially a new quarterback to throw over the middle, I think he looks like he's got good hands and good yards after carry. So I would not be surprised to see us target someone like that, a tight end like that in later rounds. Obviously there's going to be talk of a quarterback, and there was a few guys that really impressed on the quarterback side of the ball as well. I watched, and there was one guy who, in Joe Milton, when he was doing his long throws, snapping the ball, he could have literally made himself a cup of tea before he released the ball to the wide receiver, and he threw over 70 yards. Looked very impressive. I think everyone goes back to that Josh Allen bit of tape when he was at the combine throwing that almost same ball. But, you know, has that put Milton in people's thoughts and minds going into the draft? It's maybe a bit of a reach, but he looks athletic, tall, good arm. Can we develop a player like that? I don't know.
I wouldn't be drawn in by a big arm. Just because you've got a big arm, it doesn't make you a talented quarterback. Have I got to say the words Josh Rosen to you to make you understand that?
It's, but everyone's excited at this stage, Rach.
Everyone's always excited at this stage. If you want to be excited by what was on tape, don't look just at the guy who threw the ball 70 yards. If you can throw the ball 70 yards, you know, good for you. Go take up something in the Olympics. You know, if you want a quarterback and you want a quarterback that impressed you, then John made a mention of the COVID year and the effects it and advantages it had on some quarterbacks. Michael Penix, he was the one to me, I think, made the most of the combine. I think whilst, you know, as little as a week ago, we were just talking JJ McCarthy or Bo Nix, where are we going to fall? He's now in the mix too. You know, he had his injuries, but he took that extra year to get right. And, you know, of the quarterbacks who threw, you know, those who actually decided to throw the ball in the combine, he was the most impressive, I felt. Bo Nix, he let off a deep shot, the first one, and it looked really good. And, you know, the ones that followed, it looked a little bit weaker. But Bo Nix isn't that sort of strong arm, launch the ball downfield every play. He's someone who will manage that offense for you. He will, you know, march you towards the end zone rather than get you there in three shots. And then, of course, you know, JJ McCarthy, again, he looked like he has a bit of a cannon on him. But I don't feel the accuracy was there like it was with Penix. And, you know, he's definitely, Penix has definitely put himself in the conversation of a mid-first round quarterback now, I feel.
I completely agree with you guys. But with the quarterbacks there, Reese, you've got to remember that the top quarterbacks will only harm themselves by, could only harm their draft stock by throwing at the combine and doing this. They already know they're going top two, three in that draft. They only harm their stock by throwing at the combine. I know that's not right, but the younger guy, the lower guys throw at the combine and increase their stock. It's always going to be the same because they're making business decisions now, these quarterbacks. When do I throw? When do I even want to go to the combine? Yes, these are the questions that do get answered at the combine because it's all about the draft stock now.
One thing that can also help your draft stock is a good interview. And we know from the horse's mouth that JJ McCarthy, he sat down with Kevin O'Connell and Josh McCown, who's our new quarterbacks coach. You know, it makes sense bringing in Josh McCown, just on a side note, as he's a very good hire. Don't expect the Vikings to trade up for Drake May. Even though he was May's coach, it's not like that. Bringing him in is going to help whoever the Vikings take as a quarterback, which, let's face it, you can tell from all the movements this year, it's going to happen this year. There's going to be a splash in the early rounds for a quarterback, and Josh McCown is going to be instrumental in helping that player develop. How much they have to develop? If you take McCarthy, it's a lot more development. Bo Nix, Michael Penix, both older quarterbacks, and that can work in your favour. But at the same time, if you want to take someone who's raw and young and you get a good bridge quarterback in to help, you know, a Dalton type, you know, Jacoby Brissett is once again being talked up as a guy who was great as a mentor, but can also start games. Then if you're bringing him in, yeah, McCarthy makes sense. But if you need someone who might start earlier, you've got to look at Nix or Penix.
Well, we're talking business decisions now and you're almost talking as if Kirk doesn't exist. Is he coming back? Is he not coming back? That's going to be answered, hopefully. I know. We know.
Atlanta.
We heard
what Atlanta.
Kevin O'Connell has been saying. He's earned the right to be a free agent, which he has, you know, at the end of the day. If he wants to go for some money and he wants to top up his coffers before he retires, then that's, you know, that's completely his decision. I have set out my stall and I would like to see him back. Reese, I understand the Fenix argument, but he's a lefty and his knees are made of spaghetti. I don't understand why we think just because he's thrown a couple of balls at the combine, all of a sudden his stock's so high.
Well, he went through all the physicals that he had to go through. And unlike Caleb Williams, he didn't cry when he was asked to take a test. So you're giggling. And for the listeners who don't know. Rich is on mute right now. He's laughing very hard at that. Yeah, he went through all the physicals. They all say it's fine. You know, whether that's his camp, his college, or the NFL teams themselves, that's not been disclosed, but there's that level there. Also, this is worth noting. Of the 2024 quarterback prospects going to this draft, there is a PFF grade, which, you know, is about when the quarterback is kept clean. That's, you know, not rushed out the pocket, not hit. Michael Penix, he's in the top three. He usurps Drake May. He's ahead of Bo Nix, who's at number five, Caleb Williams, Jalen Daniels. They are, you know, one and two, but he's up there. And if you can invest in an O-line, which you can afford to do with a rookie quarterback, you can bring back Mr. Dalton Reisner. You can look at, do I want to bring a free agent right guard in? Do I want to invest in that position? And, you know, keep the quarterback clean and he can perform.
I understand what you're saying. And at the end of the day, we're all going to have a difference of opinion at the moment. I think JJ McCarthy interviews really well. I understand, you know, some people questioned his accuracy at the combine. When you throw into receivers that you don't have a click with, that you don't have an understanding with, that's sort of going to happen. I don't worry about it. But he just comes across as someone who could lead our offense for years and years to come. But anyway, we've seen them at the combine. We are going to see them at their pro days, which will give us a much better insight thrown to their regular wide receivers. Yeah, the problem with that is, I mean, I remember Wilson at his pro day and the Jets went, yeah, we'll have him. Well, we don't want that situation. So anything could happen. But yeah, another great combine. It's been great to watch, and I've really enjoyed myself. But we're now going to talk about that well-promised defensive conversation. So let's go into the Vikings defense of the 2024 season. So here we go, position by position. The Vikings defense 2024 is going to look, I think, quite different. We've got some players that are going to move on. We've got some positions that we're going to need to fill. John, I'm really interested to hear your views. What do you think we're going to start with in 2024?
Well, the most important thing is we've kept Brian Flores. That's the top of the list as far as I'm concerned. We've managed to keep him. How we've managed to keep him beyond me. The guy should be a head coach by now, and we all know why he's not. But I'm not going to get into the politics of the NFL. The Vikings defense is going to look very different. I think he's going to actually be able to get his hands on the defense a little more this year, because he only came in last year, so he's going to be able to put his footprint on it a bit more this year. We've got players that are going to be lost. We've got players that are going to come in. And let's face it, as a defensive player, if you get told you can work for Brian Flores, you're going to be jumping at that chance, aren't you? If it's between two teams and they're offering you the same amount of money roughly, and one of them's got Brian Flores on it, you're going to go for the Brian Flores team normally, aren't you? But enough about that. Let's talk about the positions. It's hard to say. I know Reese would probably kill me for this, but I think Hunter might end up leaving us now because of just how long this whole Kirk thing's been dragged out, the money and everything like that. I think it's not going to take long before he gets signed by someone. Because he's one of the top in his game, and he could be the final piece for someone out there. Then we've got a lot of positions out, and we've got to try and replace him out there. So that's going to be a major ask, I think. I don't want to see him go. I'd love to see him stay, but unfortunately, the money doesn't add up.
Well, it might add up if Kirk doesn't stay. You never know. So let's not write him off so soon. I mean, I'm going through the line. Dean Lowry, Phillips and Bullard. I don't think that's going to be our defensive line going into the next year. I'd like to see Phillips stay as nose tackle. I think he's a good player. And then the line backwards, Hunter, my favourite player, IPJ. Jordan Hicks and Davenport, you're talking probably three players out of that line of four that might not be with the team next year. I think, as you said last week, Reese, I think it makes sense to re-sign Davenport. I don't think Hicks will stay. It'd be nice if Hunter stayed, but we do have Brian Asamoah, who can step into that line and do a job there. Then you're looking at the secondary, and that sort of let us down a little bit last year. I do like Andrew Booth Jr. I think he came in and had a couple of good games towards the end of the season. Josh Metellus is really good. Mekhi Blackmon as a slot cornerback, I think, is really productive. But I think we are going to have to make some moves and see what depth we can get into the team. For me, I think the top three priorities of the draft are quarterback, defensive line. I think you really need to firm up those trenches. And, you know, talking about players like Fisk, if you can grab him in a later round, because we don't have too many top 100 picks, if you can grab him in a later round, then that sort of makes sense to me. But Reese, come on. Let's hear your love affair with Danielle Hunter come across the airwaves.
Yeah, my love affair with Danielle Hunter might have to come to an end. I'd love Hunter to come back. I really do feel like he should be re-signed. He should be the priority re-signing of the team. He sets you off in the right direction. And then you look at the other edge. Do you need to bring back Davenport? I mean, at the moment, you know, releasing Mattison, maybe not bringing back Davenport. We talked about this extra $30 million you're going to get. Well, a third of it seems to be going on players that aren't going to be playing for the team next year. And that's not including Kirk Cousins when we say that. But I look at it and I feel like the defensive line, the prospects in the combine really stood out. Like you said in the last segment, they stood out. So, well, they destroyed the combine. And I would not be surprised if the Vikings pick a defensive player at 11, should multiple quarterbacks that they're interested in still be on the cards. And using that second round pick they've got in the arsenal this year, along with next year's first round pick, to trade back up in the first round, like they did when they selected Teddy Bridgewater. And that's where the quarterback gets taken. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see a first round rookie starting on the defensive line next season. Linebackers, completely agree. IPJ is, you know, a guy going forward, and Asamoah, if he can stay healthy, has all the physical traits to play brilliantly alongside him. Safeties, one name that stands out to me in free agency is Antoine Winfield Jr. You know, father is a Minnesota legend, of course, and we, you know, it makes sense for him to be coming home, right? And I don't feel like it's unreasonable to say bringing him in, even with Super Josh Metellus, who could play, you know, in any position for this team, and Cam Bynum as well, who's a personal favourite of mine. I feel like there is room for three starting caliber safeties in this roster. The way that B-Flow plays on defence, the way he likes to blitz, bring the pressure, you know, it confuses a quarterback when he sees three safeties. So I feel like that could be a good fit should the money be there in free agency.
Yeah, all good points. I still think that, you know, that defensive line, like you say, the combine opened my eyes to what is a possibility on that defensive line. When you've got Newton, Murphy and Sweat, who all start, you know, if we drafted any of those guys, they would all start on our line. And I think that's probably rings true of a number of teams in the NFL next season. It would not surprise me if we had two new players on our defensive line next year.
Absolutely agree with you there, Rich. And we all know Brian Flores loves his defensive linemen. He loves to rush. He loves to blitz. So, yeah, that's something I really think we will be concentrating on in the draft.
It's odd, isn't it? Because we've been through the defensive line saying how potentially lacking it is, but actually we picked out a few players and go, oh, he's pretty good. Oh, he's pretty good. So you know, maybe we do or maybe we don't. I mean, I think we need some depth. I think we do need some help at safety and cornerbacks. I'd like to see Booth Jr. come good. I still think he's got the attributes to be able to be a good cornerback. Lewis Cine, I mean, he's anyone's guess at the moment whether he has got a future in the NFL. Like I say, he's lucky just to be walking, never mind playing in the team. So if he does come good, I'll be very impressed. But if we can pick up a few more Ivan Pace Juniors, we'll be definitely be set.
Yeah, and you make a good point there. I mean, Ivan Pace Jr. excelled as an undrafted free agent. There's, of course, another undrafted free agent who was kept on the roster throughout last season, just because of his sheer size and the prospect that he is. He's had a full season. He will have two full off seasons working. It might be interesting to see what Carter can do. We talk about the defensive end position. This guy's a physical freak. I mean, if we're going to lose Hunter, replacing him with a guy who's just as big, not the worst thing in the world if you can train that talent that I think we have the personnel to do that with.
Yeah, Flores has got a knack of getting every ounce, milliliter, or whatever you want to call it, out of players in terms of talent. So yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. There was a guy as well. I know he's it's a long shot, but the French guy who came over almost on that foreign exchange program, who's been working out with the defense as well. He looks a beast, and if he can transfer some of that physical attributes into the game, I'd like to see him get a few snaps next year. But yeah. We don't really know, do we, at the end of the day? It's going to be an interesting couple of weeks. Just over a week now until free agency opens. And then, obviously, we've got the draft coming up. Reese, I know you're a bit coy on this gung-ho opening of free agency, where you want us to wait and see if we can get some value a bit later on. But if we don't sign Hunter and we let Smith go and we don't sign Kirk, we've got a boatload of money. So let's just go and get the people that we want straight away.
Well, that's our argument's always there, but that's if you've failed on all your negotiations with your big talent to keep them in place. And I think that almost represents a failure. If you lose Hunter and Kirk, cut Smith, and fail to bring back Risner too, then the start of free agency has been a failure.
Big call. But yeah, let's wait for it. Let's see what happens. It's been good to talk about the defense. I think it's something that can really improve next year. But we have got a couple of things left. We've got a very important question from Jake, and we've got an update on Jack and who he has picked as his NFL team going forwards. So as promised, we do have an update from one of our listeners, lads. Jack, he's decided to forgo the family tradition of supporting the Vikings, and we gave him some suggestions who he could potentially support going into next season. Reese, play the clip.
Hello, my name is Jack. Hello, gentlemen. Thank you very much for helping me decide my new team. I have decided to go with both Reese and John's suggestions. I'm going to support the Texans for a really exciting team, and my backup team will be the Jags, so I can see them here in the UK when I'm a bit older.
Well, the kid's going places already because he's not listening to you, Rich.
I know, this is the story of my life, people not listening to me, especially three people in my bloody house. Do you know what? If we achieve nothing else with the podcast in the future, that has been absolutely worth it for me. Jack, well done. The Texans, all the best for the future. Obviously, you've gone with the words of the Oracle and our Vice President, John McDonald. It's okay if you don't pick the Steelers. It's fine. I'm not bothered.
You don't sound at all not bothered, Rich. I mean, how confident are you in the Steelers? Do you feel like Jack's made a mistake? Because I feel like he's made a good call. I think if there's going to be one of those two teams, the Steelers and the Texans, who win the Super Bowl, I feel confident saying the Texans will win the big game before the Steelers do it again.
I'll take you up on that, mate. I'll bet you a drink at the next at the following meetup when one of those teams makes and wins the Super Bowl. Well, by the time that happens, pints could be 15 quid down in your end and down in London. So I'll have to start saving now.
Well done, Jack, on picking a decent team there, my man. Probably going to win a Super Bowl before the Vikings do. So let's face it, because we're a Jinx franchise. You've got a bright future ahead of you in that team. Divisional rivals, though. You've picked two teams that are divisional rivals. So that's... you might have to make a decision between the two teams at one point, but no, yeah, two bright teams that are going places, my man.
Yeah, and from the sublime to the ridiculous, we have all enjoyed listener questions coming in, And I don't know if this has come in as a bit of a joke, but come on, Reese, give us the last listener question of today.
Ah, this is a classic. This really is a classic. The question, gentlemen, comes from someone who goes by Batman. Who's Batman? I'm Batman. No, it's not. Apparently, it's this guy. But anyway, Batman has asked us, would you rather fight 100 duck-sized horses or one horse-sized duck?
Holy ducks, Batman. This is a age-old internet question, and I've seen plenty of videos of swarming insects on much bigger prey that have taken it down and taken it away. There's no way you're telling me that you would not be overwhelmed by 100 duck-sized horses. I'm not having it. So I'm going mano-a-mano on a horse-sized duck. And I tell you, when I put that thing down, we're going to be eating tonight, boys. We're going to be eating tonight.
I've got to completely disagree with you. I'm going against 100 duck-sized horses. Have you ever seen an angry? Have you ever seen an angry duck? Have you ever seen an angry duck?
only in Looney Tunes.
An angry duck the size of a horse is going to come at you. I'm taking 100 ducks. I'm taking 100 duck-sized horses, and I'm kicking the living hell out of them. Boot, 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 boot. Get out of my way! Straight to the head. Kicking them in the head. Get out of my way. Get out of my way. Nah, 100 duck sized horses all day long.
So, yeah, I'm going to disagree with you, John, because I've got a plan. Big piece of bread. I will catch that duck off guard with my and with a nice old bit of bread to lure it in as bait. I'll take my shot. It might not be your mano-a-mano approach, Rich, but I feel with a bit of animal cunning. I can take down the horse-sized duck and, take down the horse-sized duck, maybe even train the horse-sized duck. Now, you two will never agree with me if I ride into battle when we disagree on something in a podcast. Well, I say riding, fly into battle on my horse-sized duck.
Well, you've got to say that fits the bill. To be fair, I don't think
That's poor!
I don't think any of us are winning a fist fight anytime soon. But yeah, good question, Batman.
To wing it.
Good way to round off the show. Yeah, I think that's all about we've got time for. So thank you very much for listening to us rabble on about the Vikings and the NFL. It'd be good to hear some more questions. If anyone's got any questions, Reese, give us the email.
You can email your questions to ukvikespod@gmail.com. That's ukvikespod@gmail.com. Send them over as a message, or if you want to record a little bit of audio and send that over for us to play on the show, like Jack did, we're more than welcome that one too.
Yeah, thank you very much for that, Reese. Right then, fellas, we're coming back next week.
Absolutely.
Sounds good. Well, thank you very much from me. Thank you very much for tuning in. Say goodbye, gentlemen.
Goodbye, gentlemen.
Goodbye, gentlemen.
Cheers. Ta-ra.